Assalamu alaikum, my dear listeners. Welcome to Thursday's bedtime reading. I pray that you're all well. Inshallah, this week we will read chapter 14, which is entitled The Invitation. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Khadija radiyallahu's heart brimmed with love for baby Fatima radiyallahu as she cooed in her arms for the first time. She was the newest member of their household and was the apple of her father's eye. So intense was Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's love for little Fatima radiyallahu that he would be heard saying, "Fatima is a piece of me." Not long after the birth of Fatima radiyallahu came little Abdullah. He was now their only son. With Khadija radiyallahu and their children, as well as Ali radiyallahu and Zayd radiyallahu, the Prophet ﷺ had established the first Muslim home. Now it was time to extend the invitation of Islam to his clansmen. The day of the feast came, as the elders of Banu Hashim had been invited as guests. Khadija radhiyallahu made the arrangements for the banquet. Ruqayya radhiyallahu and Umm Kulthum radhiyallahu helped their mother and were right by her side. There was so much to prepare for a feast such as this one: cooking the meat dish, milling and preparing the grain for the barley bread, purchasing fruit and dates. And it would all be served in earthenware dishes complete with drinking vessels laid out upon a cloth spread on the floor. Invitations were extended to the members of their family from Banu Hashim and some from the clan of Hashim's closest brother, Al-Muttalib. Altogether, 45 men attended. The reed was a traditional food that the Quraysh served their families on special occasions. It was a meaty soup with pieces of barley bread broken into it, which soaked up the flavours of the broth deliciously. It was said that their great-grandfather Hashim, whose name meant breaker of bread, was the first to prepare the reed by breaking up pieces of bread and adding them to the soup. The table spread that Khadija Rinha had prepared was generous, but not extravagant. The dishes were fitting for the noblemen who were going to feast upon them. When they had finished enjoying their meal, the Prophet ﷺ began to speak. "All praise is due to Allah. I seek His help. I believe in Him and put my trust in Him. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, without any partners." His uncles and elders of the tribe all looked at him attentively. He was the beloved son of the most beloved son of the most beloved son of Quraysh. "A guide can never lie to his people," the Prophet ﷺ continued, speaking from his heart, his eyes full of sincere concern. "I swear by Allah, there is no God but He, and that I have been sent as a prophet to you and to all people." The elders of Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib looked at each other in bewilderment. "One God," they thought, "but what about our 360 gods?" "Prophet of Allah?" They began questioning one another. They had never known anyone to be a prophet of Allah before this, not in Arabia. "I swear by Allah," Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, "that you will all die one day just as you sleep, and you will be brought back to life just like you wake up." There were some perplexed frowns in the audience, as the people of Mecca had not heard of life after death before. In their religion, when a person died, that was the end. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them that there would be a life beyond this one. "You will be called to account for your actions," the Prophet ﷺ went on, his voice serious and assured. "Then it will either hellfire forever or paradise forever." Abu Lahab could bear it no longer. He leapt to his feet as fast as he could. His face would turn a shade of red whenever he was upset. And hearing Muhammad's words that day, his face flushed bright crimson. Up until now, relations between the two families had been cordial. However, all of that was about to change. He began to protest rudely. "Speak to the point, will you?" he barked. "These are your uncles and cousins. Don't you know that we, your relatives, won't be able to support you against all of the other Arabs with this message of yours? I have never," he continued, frowning furiously with his face turning a shade redder with every sentence he barked, "never heard of anyone who has wanted to cause more harm to these relatives than you." Saddened by his words, the Prophet ﷺ remained silent and did not say anything else. He hadn't invited them to cause arguments or trouble. He simply wanted the best for his family, whom he loved dearly. He wanted them to be guided, to become people of paradise, and to prevent them from being people of the hellfire. He wanted to convey the message with which he had been entrusted. Abu Talib, the sides of his eyes drooping with concern, knew that the boy he had brought up was speaking the truth. "We would love to help you. We accept your advice, and we believe your words," he said, speaking up at last to reassure the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Lahab glowered at his brother with disgust. "These are your relatives whom you have gathered, and I am one of them, and I'm the fastest among them to do what pleases you." Abu Talib continued. His kind words were a soothing tonic for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His uncle Al-Abbas radiallahu anha nodded in agreement. "Do as you have been commanded, my nephew. I will protect you and defend you." "But," Abu Talib added, shaking his head, "I cannot quit the religion of my father, Abdul Muttalib." Upon hearing this, Abu Lahab began screeching at Abu Talib. They were half brothers, as they had the same father but different mothers. "Abu Talib, you must stop him before the others do. He's bringing shame to the name of Abdul Muttalib." Abu Talib held his hand up, signaling to Abu Lahab to calm down. "I swear by Allah to protect him as long as I am alive," he said firmly. Abu Talib's pledge made Abu Lahab purple with rage, and gathering up his cloak in a fit of fury, he rushed off home with a grunt to tell his wife the grim news. Subhanallah. One could only imagine how hard this particular gathering would have been for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet had been entrusted to spread the truth, to spread the oneness and the message of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet his own relatives, his own uncles are against him. Imagine the hurt, the sorrow that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have felt. Yet he carried on this message, he carried on this sacrifice up until he left this temporary world. So inshallah, we'll carry on with chapter 15 next week, inshallah. I really cannot wait. Now, my dear listeners, as we have been doing quite some weeks now, first and foremost, a reminder to all listeners that tonight is Shabi'a Jummah, the night of Jummah. There's so many virtues, so many acts of worship that one can do to try and gain as much as possible from the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is to try and read Surah Kahf before Maghrib on Jummah. Also to try and recite Durood abundantly, as much as possible, as much as we can, and pass it on to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another thing to do is to try and have a sunnah wash on the day of Jum'ah. Try to wear our best clothes. Put some nice ittar or perfume on. Try to get to the masjid early for Jum'ah Salah. Now try to engage in as much acts of worship as possible, inshallah. So all listeners are encouraged to do this, inshallah. And one more reminder for all listeners, Recently we have been reading about the virtues of spending in charity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith from Fazail al-Sadaqat, inshallah, before I finish. So this hadith says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that whosoever believes in Allah ta'ala and the Day of Judgment must treat his guest well, refrain from causing difficulties for his neighbour, and whatever he utters must be good, or else he should hold his tongue. The other version of this hadith adds, he should be kind to his kinfolk. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to show love and compassion to our fellow Muslims, and also our neighbours and other people that we meet, inshallah, so that we can show the true character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we all try to emulate every day, inshallah. So inshallah, we shall end the story time for this week. I really can't wait for next week's chapter, inshallah. But before we go, let's all remember to pray the bedtime dua before going to sleep, which is Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. And also let's all try to remember to sleep with wudu, and also sleep on our right hand side wherever possible, and recite the kalima before we sleep as well, inshallah. So until next week, my dear listeners, assalamu alaikum.